life is better in the city. I like the way it don't know me.
The second Friday nights in the Recital Hall concert will be Cassador on November 22nd at 8 p.m. These shows at the Isabel are licensed and all ages, and tickets sell out fast. Get yours today. Check out queensu.ca/theisabel for details.
It speaks to me. The words she gives me, they're all empty.
East country roads, take me home.
Howdy, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree, the Yes, the Series, your old host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlaw. Inviting y'all to join me and my many legendary guests every Sunday from 8 to 11 over CFRC 101.9 FM. Remember, this is where real country music lives every Sunday from 8 to 11. Y'all stay tuned now, you hear.
That easy chair and sit right down for the best music in your town. On
the next Wayback Country Jamboree, coming up next on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The entertainment world mourns legendary actor and country songwriter Kris Kristofferson.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the trains, feeling nearly faded. He's a lover and he'll love her in ways that she never has been loved before. See him wasted on the sidewalk in his jacket and his jeans, wearing yesterday's misfortunes like a smile.
Good morning, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock. And for next few hours, I'd like to invite y'all in to a celebration to the life and memories, and of course, the music of Kris Kristofferson, as he sadly passed away on September 28th. So with that, we would like to invite y'all in to go with us down memory lane. Good morning to my listeners.
On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stone.
I was born upon the tide, with the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico.
Love that I needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul.
His songs were emotionally honest, sexually frank, and spoke to people about their everyday lives. Today, those songs have been covered by over 450 artists, and yet those achievements are only part of the picture, which includes his own success as a musician and film star.
Morning, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show. This here is your old host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, for this morning. We are coming to you, as always, via the CFRC airwaves in downtown Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And we can also be heard via www.cfrc.ca, as well as most listening devices. Now, this morning, I would like to remember one of the greatest songwriters in all country music history, Kris Kristofferson, here on the Wayback Country Jamboree. I'd also like to remind y'all that we are still being brought to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, as well as CFRC 101.9 FM. Now, as I welcome y'all into the next 2 hours, I would like to just remember the legendary Kris Kristofferson, who was born on June 22, 1936 in Brownsville, Texas, having first come into music industry with his debut album in 1970, titled Simply Kristofferson, an album which would release such classics as Me and Bobby McGee, Sunday Morning Coming Down, as well as standards in country music. And with that also mentioned, I would like to just note that he sadly passed away on September 28th, this past month of September, at the age of 88. However, it will be my hope today to remember this man and his music today in this 3-hour celebration to him and his music. Now, I would also like to open up today's program with a very fitting song by George Jones, the possum of country music, called Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? And then we'll follow with a classic by Kris Kristofferson himself, titled Me and Bobby McGee. With that, I would like to say good morning to all my listeners tuning into the program this morning. Welcome in, friends.
You know this old world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen to tear your heart out when they sing. Imagine life without them. All your radio heroes, like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dreams. No, there'll never be another red-headed stranger, a man in black and Folsom prison blue. The Okie from Muskogee, or hello, darling. Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes?
God bless the boys from Memphis, blue suede shoes and Elvis. Much too soon he left this world in tears. They tore up the 50s, old Jerry Lee and Charlie, and Go Cat Go still echoes through the years. You know the heart of country music still beats in Luke the Drifter. You can tell it when he sang I Saw the Light. Old Marty, Hank and Lefty, why I can feel them right here with me on this silver eagle rolling through the night.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes?
Yes, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
You know, some introductions are kind of hard to make, especially when the person I'm supposed to be introducing is so close to me and so talented. It's not really possible sometimes to find the right words. So in this case, I'll just say, ladies and gentlemen, here's my friend, Kris Kristofferson.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge and heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all away to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang a velvet song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good was easy, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee.
Bobby McGee. from the coal mines of Kentucky to the California sun. Bobby shared the secrets of my soul, standing right beside me, Lord. Everything I'd done, every night she kept me from the cold. Then somewhere near Salinas, Lord, I let her slip away, looking for the home I hope she'll find. And I trade all my tomorrows for a single yesterday, holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing left is all she left for me. Feeling good was easy, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Buddy, that was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee. Da 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 da. La da da to me and Bobby McGee. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da da to me and Bobby McGee. La da 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 da.
Yes, friends, once again we are back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree, following those opening songs of the Way Back Country Morning Show here. As we begin the show and get it off to another start, let's get it on, as we usually do, with some great morning dedications going out to my beloved family. First for Mama Dawn this morning, it's going to be an all-time classic by none other than Ralph Carlson out of the Ottawa Valley, and a song that he recorded that Kris Kristofferson wrote many years ago titled Darby's Castle. Now, I would also like to mention that this is one of Mama's all-time favorite songs. Then we'll follow with a song going out to my late partner and soulmate in life, Miss Velma LaPointe, Miss Jenny as she was always known, and a song going out to her in loving memory. It's going to be Waylon Jennings and another Kris Kristofferson wrote song titled Loving Her Was Easier Than Anything I'll Ever Do Again. Then we'll wrap up with one of the earliest known songs of Kris Kristofferson himself, 1967, titled Killing Time. With that, I would like to welcome you all to the Way Back Country Jamboree and say good morning to all my friends out there in radio world. Welcome in, friends.
The ruin of the hill, where the smoke is hanging still, like an echo from an age long forgotten. There's a story of a home crushed beneath those blackened stones, and a roof that fell before the beams were rotten. Cecil Darby loved his wife, and he labored all his life to provide her with material possession. And he built for her a home of the finest wood and stone, and the building soon became his sole obsession.
It took 300 days for the timbers to be raised, and the silhouette could be seen for miles around.
And the gables reached as high as the eagles in the sky, but it only took one night to bring it down. When Darby's castle tumbled to the ground, common day, there was precious little say in the hours that were set aside for sleeping. For his busy dreams were filled with the rooms he'd yet to build, and he never heard young Ellen Darby weeping. One night he heard a sigh as he laid his pencil down, traced it to her door, turned the handle. There the pale light of the moon split the shadows of the room, shown a place where two bodies lay entangled. It took 300 days for the timbers to be raised, and the silhouette could be seen for miles around. And the gables reached as high as the eagles in the sky, but it only took one to bring it down. When Darby's castle tumbled to the ground, when Darby's castle tumbled to the ground.
I have seen the morning burning golden on the mountain in the sky. Aching with the feeling of the freedom of an eagle when she flies. Turning on the world the way she smiled upon my soul as I lay dying. Healing as the colors in the sunshine and the shadows of her eyes. Waking in the morning to the feeling of her fingers on my skin. Wiping out the traces of the people and the places that I've been. Teaching me that yesterday was something that I never thought of trying. Talking of tomorrow and the money, love and time we had to spend. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again. Coming close together with the feeling that I've never known before. Ashamed to be a woman or afraid to be a friend. I don't know the answer to the easy way she's opened every door in my mind. But dreaming was as easy as believing it was never gonna end. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again.
Signal light. watch them bending with the burden of the pennies that they say marking time. Rolling home, slowly marching by the numbers to the freedom of the grave, killing time. Ain't it slow?
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to take our weekly trip up east to the good old valley we call the Ottawa Valley. And of course, as we do this, we must drop in on our dear friends, Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret. And so for them today, it's going to be a legendary singer of the Ottawa Valley who is one of the newest inductees to the Hall of Fame in the Ottawa Valley, none other than Eddie Francis, and his story on his dad, Fiddlin' Joe. Then we'll follow with another legendary song going out to our dear friends, Vic and Linda May Garbutt of Empire, Ontario. And it's going to be none other than the legendary Freddie Dixon of the Ottawa Valley. And Freddie's got his all-time classic titled Big Radio Waltz. Then we'll wrap up with another classic off an old Mac Beatty song going out to John and Kathy up there in Guelph today, who's been searching for some Mac Beatty material for me. And it's going to be none other than the legendary classic Northern Ontario Blue. With that, I'd like to welcome y'all into the Wayback Country Jamboree and say good day to my Valley listener. Welcome in, friends.
His parents came from the land of Po in search of a better life. He was born in the hills below, well known to a world of hope and strife. But the barefoot boy would share his joy and the hills they would echo as he diddled and fiddled his musical toy, so they called him Fiddlin' Joe. When the call went out for Fiddlin' Joe, no matter what the style, a barn dance or a music show was greeted with a smile. Though the money was small, he loved them all to dance and shout bravo as he made his rounds through valley towns, how they loved their Fiddlin' Joe. When he tunes up his fiddle and he rosins the bow, his face is all and around we go. Swing your partner to the do-si-do, dancing to the music of Fiddlin' Joe. Little did they know this young fellow whose music touched the soul would one day grow from embryo to the fiddle on a roll. Throughout the land his gifted hand the seeds of fame it sowed. That's why we say hooray, hooray for the man called Fiddlin' Joe. His legacy to humanity is to always give his best. On Judgment Day they'll count the ways his music passed the test. So if the Hall of Fame should call his name with the honor to bestow, we'll award the prize and immortalize the man called Fiddlin' Joe. When he tunes up his fiddle and he rods the bow, his place is all and around we go. Swing your partner to the do-si-do, dancing to the music of Fiddlin' Joe.
do-si-do, dancing to the music of Fiddling
Joe. There's a full moon out over the Rito. There's a warm breeze that's blowing tonight. You're handling mine, it's summertime, and the fireflies, they show us their light.
As the oars of our boat touch the water, and we're gently drifting downstream, I look in your eyes and I realize that there's nothing to do but to dream.
Oh, I know what the old folks, they mean now when they say that this valley is gold. How lonesome moon cries, a tear fills my eyes, frogs and crickets sing love's sweet delight. There's a full moon out over the Rito. There's a warm breeze that's blowing tonight. You're handling mine, it's summertime, and the fireflies, they show us their light. Say that this valley is gold. How lonesome moon cries, a tear fills my eyes, frogs and crickets sing love's sweet delight. As the oars of our boat touch the water, and we're gently drifting downstream, I look in your eyes, then I realize that there's nothing to do but to dream. I look in your eyes, then I realize that there's nothing to do but to dream.
Now it seems a long time since these old feet of mine have walked into Sudbury town. It's been a long day since I've wandered away where the copper cliff smokestacks look down. I didn't know how I felt about the old nickel belt till my wandering ways changed my views. Now I'm sick of the strife, all this rambling life, I've got the Northern Ontario blues. Northern Ontario, I've got the blues. How I long for your lakes and your trees. How I'd love to recline neath the shade of a pine with my old fishing rod on my knees. When the shades of night fall and the lonesome loons call, all my cares and my worries I'll lose. And I know peace of mind in God's country I'll find. I've got the Northern Ontario blues. There's a northern railway leading out of North Bay up along the Tamaga Main Line, where the old coaches lurch through the poplars and birch up to Kirkland Lake and Porcupine. I gotta make me some calls in at Iroquois Falls and at Timmins, old friendships renew. So I'm packing my sack and I'm hitting the track. I've got the Northern Ontario blues. Northern Ontario. I've got the blues. How I long for your lakes and your trees. How I'd love to recline beneath the shade of a pine with my old fishing rod on my knees. When the shades of night fall and the lonesome loons call, all my cares and my worries I'll lose. And I know peace of mind in God's country I'll find. I've got the Northern Ontario blues.
Rosted. You're listening to Way Back Country Jamboree with my good friend Johnny Woodlock on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And if you love everybody, chances are that somebody will love you the way that I do.
Now, friends, you know, years ago I reached out to Chris Christopherson to do an interview with me for the program here. However, he was sick at the time and couldn't do it. So I would like to invite our very special guest of honor, Ralph Emery, and Chris Christopherson onto the program here in an interview blast from the past of what we like to call Emery's Memories. Now, this is a series of interviews that Ralph Emery put to CD many years ago, and this is one of them with Chris Christopherson. Now, I would like to mention that this will be the first part of a three-part interview and has been cut back quite a bit because the original interview, which lasts over an hour, can be found on YouTube. But in the meantime, I would like to play this in memory of my dear friend Ralph Emery and, of course, the Country Music Hall of Fame and pioneer Chris Christopherson. So with that, here's Chris and Ralph once again from the golden age of country music.
Our special guest star this week is Chris Christopherson. Chris, welcome to our show.
Good to be back, Ralph.
Me and Bobby McGee, but I want you to tell me a little bit about the song. I was talking to Fred Foster the other day of Monument Records, and he told me about a girl named Bobby McKee who had inspired the idea.
Well, she was, I think she was Bootle O'Brien's secretary downstairs from Fred's office, and Fred called me up at Combine and said he had a song title for me. Said it was me and Bobby McKee, but I thought he said McGee because I was a little drunk at the time. And he says Bobby McGee is a she, and he says let's write a song, you know, write a song on the thing. And I went off and hid from him for about 3 months, you know, because it's hard for me to write a thing on an assignment. But the odd thing about that is that I just, as late as our gig in Tahoe a couple of days ago, got word from a guy who said he had lived with me and also with the Bobby McGee and wanted to talk to me about it. I've had about 15 people claim to be the original Bobby McGee. When Willie and I were jogging in Hawaii before our gig over there, we ran past a restaurant called the original Bobby McGee, and he said there's a chain of them in the Southwest called Me and Bobby McGee restaurants. And it should have been McKee, but it never was.
Do you get a cut of the hamburgers or whatever?
They don't even give me the French fries.
You were busted flat in Baton Rouge. Now, I remember you used to fly helicopters. Mm-hmm. We'd see you around Nashville, and then we wouldn't see you for a while.
Yeah.
And you were flying helicopters to the oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico, weren't you?
Right. That was after the time that I was working with Columbia and all that, when you were putting me on the TV show there in the afternoon. But then I'd work a week in the Gulf and come back here for a week. I remember several times bothering you all night long during that time back here.
What? Apparently you would augment your income then by flying the helicopters for a while and then come back to Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't augment it. That was my income. I wasn't making any in Nashville, but I felt staying in the business by coming back here every other week.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge. Was that accurate?
I was flying in Baton Rouge at the time. I had been busted all over the South, but I meant broke at the time, and I don't guess it was accurate because I was flying when I wrote it, but it was supposed to be something in the past. I remember that was the part that started the song off in my head, though, was I'm busted flat in Baton Rouge heading for the trains, feeling nearly faded as my jeans. That came out right away, and then the rest of it, I just had to think about it, you know, and it would come slowly.
Chris, what's Barbara Streisand like?
She likes Chinese food? No. How long do we have? She's a perfectionist. She's intelligent. She can be a real terror to work with sometimes.
Was she tough on you?
Yeah, I think she was. But I was tough on her at the same time in a different way. I think she was going for the best performance. And after seeing what she did with the film, you know, I have come to feel indebted to her. You know, I think whatever went down between us, you know, as far as tension, she was doing it for a reason for the film. I would hope that in the future she'd have enough. I think we came out with enough mutual respect where she would tell me that she was the director rather than just sort of pretend she wasn't. But we're friends now.
Are you going to make another picture together?
Well, she said something about it, you know, like it's off in the future or something, and a friend of hers mentioned a possibility.
I want to go back to your music and talk about Help Me Make It Through the Night. I seem to recall a conversation we had years ago, and we discussed an article by Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. And it was in Esquire or one of those magazines, Playboy mm-hmm. perhaps.
Or Time magazine, I'm not sure what it was.
Where he said he believed in a bottle of whiskey or a Bible or anything that would help you make it through the night.
I believe he said a broad. He didn't say a Bible. Yeah, but anything that would help you make it through the night. Is that where the idea came from? Yeah, I believe. I know the phrase itself came from that. It was I was writing the song out in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, on that platform that I worked on, and had got all the, you know, the first part about take the ribbon from your hair and shake it loose, let it fall, and all that, and the tune, but I didn't have a title, and then that thing that Frank Sinatra said occurred to me, and so. I hope he doesn't demand half the copyright of it. He later cut a song of mine that Nobody Wins.
That's right, he did. I'd forgotten about that.
That was a landmark.
I think, as I recall, you know, some of your copyrights are immortal. Me and Bobby McGee, Help Me Make It Through the Night, For the Good Times. As I recall, Chris, in looking back, Help Me Make It Through the Night was first recorded by Ray Price. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it was first recorded by Gene Nash, Bill Nash, by Jerry Kennedy, same guy that cut For the Good Times first. But
who has been lost somewhere.
Well, they put out For the Good Times, and nobody would play it, I think, except one station because of the line, Hold Your Warm, Tender Body Close to Mine. And Bill was a good singer. So he then cut Help Me Make It Through the Night, and they dropped him off the label and never released it. But then I think Ray did cut it. Either Ray or Waylon was going to cut it, and they both kind of got into a standoff. You know how Waylon can get sometimes, well, hell, if you're going to do it, Hoss, I ain't going to do it. And then and the next thing you know, Sammy slipped in between them with a single.
Well, Ray had it in an LP, as I recall.
Yeah, up-tempo. I think you're right.
Up-tempo.
Yeah.
And Sammy had it in an LP, Sammy Smith, and they pulled it out, and her version became a hit. Yeah. And along about that time, I kept hearing that Johnny Cash was going to do it, but I don't suppose he ever did that song.
Boy, I couldn't tell you. I don't think he ever did. I remember Waylon was going to, unless he got mad because I give it to somebody else, and then he didn't. But Waylon probably listens to more songs than most artists do, you know.
Of course, Waylon did The Taker.
He did The Taker. He did
He said, Chris said I changed his song.
He wasn't very worried about it, though. But he, the way he changed it was the right way it should have been. He made it sound like a Mexican song, and that's the way I cut it later when I recorded it for that Silver Tongue Devil album.
Chris, I remember some of the things, but I don't remember them all specifically. When you were in Nashville, legend says that you were cleaning the ashtrays at the Columbia Recording Studio, which is right across the street from where we are right now. And you worked over there sort of as a handyman.
It was called Studio Setup Man, I think it was. It was with a janitor's job. I cleaned the studio up and kept the engineer supply of tape and stuff like that. Saw a lot of sessions.
Is that how you met people like Johnny Cash?
Yeah, that's how I met John. And I didn't get a lot of songs cut, but I...
The reason you took that job, so that you could pitch your songs?
Not to pitch them, but to... I needed to earn some money just to feed my wife and kid, and I didn't want to take a job that took me completely away from Music Row, you know. So I figured it was the perfect job for a songwriter. I didn't have to think.
What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't take a whole lot of brains to do what I was doing, so I could be writing songs all day long.
Oh.
And also getting to know various artists. It didn't turn out to be a good vehicle for pitching songs, because I think people come to regard me as the janitor. You know, you're not going to go take your... I'd go down to Harlan Howard's house rather than go to the janitor to get my songs if I was coming in town to do a session. But I built some, you know, like lasting friendships with people like John and June and a lot of them from over there.
Wasn't this a big come down, a very humbling experience, because you had a career in the Army, you were an officer, you were a Rhodes Scholar, and now you were emptying ashtrays?
It wasn't for me so much, because I was so excited about writing at the time. You know, you remember when plugged the first song that I ever had recorded. Remember the old Vietnam Blues?
Vietnam Blues.
And I went up to you and thanked you for saying nice things about it or something. You looked at me like I was crazy. But it was hard on the rest of them. It was hard on people who were used to being married to a captain or something, or whose son was going to be an instructor or something, you know. Because they weren't as excited about the business as I was.
Well, wasn't your father an officer?
He was a major general in the Air Force.
That's pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy.
Major General Christofferson?
Yeah, he was. He was actually in the reserve. He was just on active duty during the wars in the Second World War in Korea. But he was also an airline pilot and worked for... Actually, the last job he had was out in Arabia, which is pretty hot right now, working for Aramco.
Is he still living?
Years. No, he died a few years back. Fortunately, after I started making a living. And
well, I wondered if he ever forgave you. Because,
oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a letter where he wrote and asked me to forgive him.
I see.
He said nobody could have ever told him not to be a pilot when he wanted to be one, and he really felt like he was wrong for trying to tell me what to do.
But didn't he want... Weren't you going to be an instructor at West Point at one time?
Oh, that was my next assignment. When I was coming back from Germany from my 3-year tour over there, when I came to Nashville, and had I not gotten out of the Army, I would have gone to West Point and taught English literature or something. And I'm sure it was disappointing to my family when I decided not to do that. But they're reconciled to it.
Chris, was there ever any reference to the term hillbilly? Our boys down there with all those hillbillies in Nashville?
I'm sure that was a big part of it. Because the image of Nashville at the time... Well, you know, people in Nashville didn't even admit they went to the Opry back in those days.
Right.
And you didn't have the mayor turning the first spade of earth on some new Music City construction or anything. The town of Nashville was even kind of schizophrenic about the business, you know. And I'm sure they thought I was in the hillbilly capital of the United States, but heck, my mother's the biggest country fan in the world now. I think she calls up and disguises her voice and requests my records and stuff like that. And she's come to really respect Johnny Cash and June Carter, people like that, who before they thought they were not ignorant necessarily, definitely a style of life that they didn't want to know anything about,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think just like the whole public has come to look a little differently at country music and Nashville
mm-hmm.
since then.
You gotta keep those cards and letters coming in, honey. Say you love me time and time again. Honey.
Howdy, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree. Have you ever had a comment or a suggestion or a request for this program that you listen to every weekend on Sundays from 8 to 11? Well, have you ever wondered how to contact your host, Johnny Woodlock, or co-hostess, Simbush the Wonder Husky? Well, we're inviting y'all to write us here at the ranch. By snail mail, just send your letters care of Woodlock Ranch Studios and care of Mr. Johnny Woodlock, P.O. Box 21007, that's 21007, Cornwall, Ontario, K68788, Canada, or by email at waybackcountry@cfrc.ca. And we'll be sure to write y'all back. In the meantime, we'll be waiting for your letters by the mailbox, so send those letters on in. Now, back to the show.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Now, friends, once again, it's that time in the program following that interview with our dear late friends, Chris Christopherson and also Ralph Emery. It is once again time here now, as we welcome you all back in, to pay tribute to the Vinyl Blast from Vinyl Past. But first, we must open the Vinyl Vault door. Now the Vinyl Vault door is wide open. It's time to share another vintage vinyl record from out of the collection here at the Wayback Country Jamboree in Woodlock Ranch. This one dates back to 1970 and is a classic country music standard by today, but was written in 1970s by Chris Christopherson and called Sunday Morning Coming Down. Now this is a song that has a lot of legacy and legends to it, but before we play this song, I would like to play one of the clips from an interview that Chris did many years ago, and one of the many stories surrounding this classic. So with that, let's turn back the years to 1970 and hear this all-time classic by Johnny Cash and penned by Chris Christopherson.
One of the biggest nights of my life was when John was going to sing Sunday Morning Coming Down on his show.
The producer wanted to take out a line in it, which is, "Wishing Lord that I was stoned." And John said, "Well, I'll think about it tonight."
I was up here in the balcony looking down at him while he was singing the song, and he looked up at me at that line and said, "Wishing Lord that I was stoned."
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, through my clothes, and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the song they were singing. Then I headed down the street and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like a disappearing dream of yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down.
Now, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to send us into the second hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree. As we wrap up this first hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show, I would like to bid farewell to this first hour with none other than Hank Williams and an all-time classic titled Dust on the Bible. Then we'll wrap up with another song that is recorded and written by none other than Willie Nelson. And Willie's going to be doing his all-time classic titled Family Bible. So with that, I want to wish you all a happy Sunday.
To a home one day to see some friends of mine. Of all their books and magazines, not a Bible could I find. I asked them for the Bible. When they brought it, what a shame. All the dust was covered over it, not a fingerprint was plain. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word. Scripture do you know? When it is the very truth and its content's good for you, but if dust is covered over it, it's sure to doom your soul. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the words of all the prophets and the sins of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find that non-salvation holds, get the dust off the Bible and redeem your soul.
best advice to give him that will make his burdens light is to dust the family Bible, trade the wrong way for the right. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the verge of all the prophets and the sin of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find, they're not salvation whole. Get the dust off the Bible and redeem your first soul.
Thank you, boys, for a fine song.
Family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read, but the Family Bible on the table will ever be my key to know. At the end of day, when work was over, and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the Family Bible, and we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting round the table when from the Family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages left for me. Now this old world of ours is filled with trouble. This old world would also better be if we found more Bibles on the table and Mother singing, Rock of Ages left for me. I can see us sitting round the table when from the Family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages left for me. Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages left for me.
This is